Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. All right. We're back. I hope everyone had a pleasant weekend. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. And if you're wondering what the Real Talk for Real People show is, it's a good question. Because one of our major faults as a people, let's be honest about it, we don't do self-examination, unless we always find ourselves in the same situation that we seem to find ourselves in. We become complacent. We are very complacent people. We have complacent with not asking the question that we need to ask, the who, what, when, where, and how. We have become complacent in our families, our communities, and thus we find ourselves in the situation, because complacency will kill you. And certainly the evidence doesn't lie, because it's been killing us. Let's be truthful about that. Complacency. Accepting anything without any question. We use the excuse, well, if it was good enough for mama and papa, it's good enough for me. Well, it's good enough for grandpa and grandma, it's good enough for me. Well, grandma and grandpa rode a horse and buggy. You think that's good enough for you now? Try putting it on one of your major highways and see how that work out for you. Stop being ignorant and being complacent. Ignorance and complacency has killed us, because, as they say, how to hide anything from a Negro is put it in a book. And thus, we find ourselves in dire straits. It's imperative in our studies here that we get it right from the fundamentals, so we'll learn not to be complacent. You'll find out in our studies in ancient times, our people weren't complacent. They asked the right questions. They did the right thing. They didn't want to be ignorant. We want to ask the right questions, and we love to be ignorant. We love to simply go along to get along. And that seems to be our problem. It seems to hold us back. As I say, complacency will kill you, because you don't ask any questions. You just go along just because everybody else doing it. And so that's why these studies are imperative. So you can get out of complacent mindset and get out of the ignorant mindset of not wanting to know anything. Simply nobody can tell you anything. That seems to be the problem we find ourselves in as a people, as a whole. We are on a life support system. Our communities are on life support. Our families are on life support. Each one of us are on life support, especially if you don't do anything except accept anything, not study and investigate anything, not want to do anything better. Yes, complacency and ignorance will kill you. Killed many of us over the course of centuries. We need to get out of that mindset in order to survive. You need to have someone like they do in the military, or something like some of you do, don't even not aware of it. It's called situational awareness. You need to be aware of your situation, your surroundings, not only locally, nationally, and internationally. Situation awareness. But because of complacency and ignorance, you don't do none of those things. You live in a void. You live in a tunnel vision. That's why you don't grow. That's why you don't develop. You're satisfied. You're content with your status. You need to get out of that mindset. And we're here to help you study to get out of that mindset. Unfortunately, Sister Aviat won't be with us, but Cartrell will be. If you wonder who are the we I'm making reference to, Cartrell from New York City and Sister Aviat from New York City. As I just previously said, Sister Aviat will not be with us tonight, but Cartrell will. Now, you probably wondering, Yom Sufar Reef, who is Cartrell? Well, I could tell you what he do. I could tell you what he is. I can tell you what he's about. It's this. He loves the Most High with his heart, all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And his brothers and sisters as himself, because that's the reason, one of the primary reasons why he's on. Practically every night, he's on. To help you in your study, so you can learn situational awareness, so you can get out of your complacency, so you can stop being satisfied with being ignorant and being content with your ignorance by virtue of your studies, and which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. His people, their characteristics, their identities, they didn't call themselves black folks because they were situationally aware that they weren't black folk. They weren't Negroes. They weren't African Americans. Any other derivative that you want to call them. And by their lack of complacency, they didn't have any complacency, some of them. They kept their head on a swivel. You would see that in the case of, if you studied with us as far as Abraham was concerned, you knew he always kept his head on a swivel. You'll find this out about Isaac. Isaac, in our study, kept his head on a swivel. Although when he got old, he couldn't see that well, but he still was smart. Remember when he went to, he thought that Esau, Jacob, was pretending to be Esau, and he was situationally aware of the situation. He said, oh, you don't sound like Esau. Come on, give me a hug. Give me a kiss, son. And he slick rubbed on his hand in the back of the neck. Oh, you feel like it? He sniffed it. You smell like it. I guess I'm getting old. But even that being said, even though he was fooled, he still kept his mind on a swivel. He was situationally aware of what was going on. Although he was blind, he couldn't identify his son. And we need to be more like Isaac. In Yaakov, you will find out how Yaakov was situationally aware of his situation by his uncle trying to play games on him, by giving him two daughters, the only one won, and by trying to run a game on him again. You'll find out in these studies we're about to study tonight how he tried to run game on him. But because some of you're not situationally aware of what's going on around, all kind of games are played on you. And you know what I learned? You can't con folks that ain't trying to do nothing wrong. You can only con folks that trying to get over. I learned that. Because there's situation where ain't nothing for free. And they're not wanting to be ignorant for no one. And they're not complacent in anything. But then again, you'll learn these in your studies with us, that you have to be situationally aware of the situation, and you need to stop being complacent. Because these people, you're an accident waiting to happen. You're a casket waiting to drop. Better keep your head on a swivel. You better study all you can, when you can, or how soon ever you can, as we do. And that's what Cartrell does. And he's not doing this because he's getting paid. He's doing this as a labor of love for the Elohim and for you. Praise God and bless his holy name. Let me bring Cartrell along for you. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Most High bless you, Yamsu. Shalom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. As long as I got the breath and life, I can give thanks to the Most High.
Praise God. Another day, my brother. Another day. Praise God. You said a mouthful.
Yes. Quite a dissertation. And right. A lot of people need to snap out of their sleep.
Right.
So much going on in the world. If you're not aware of it, you're going to get caught. Not prepared. So we're trying to prepare.
Right.
And that's a spiritual preparedness we're trying to make.
Exactly.
To be in Yah's refuge. That's the only way you're going to make it.
Praise God, Cartrell. Praise God. Well, Cartrell, if you're ready to help our students become situationally aware and stop being complacent by virtue of our study of the Elohim and his people that he put forth as examples, I'm ready.
Yes, sir, no doubt.
All right, Cartrell, fellow students, may the Most High bless you. May I continue to direct and order your steps so you don't lean complacently to your own understanding. Chapter 30 of Bereshit. Some of you call it by the Greek name Genesis. That is not the original name. The Hebrew name is Bereshit, in the mind, in the beginning of the Elohim, and brought to you by virtue of Moses the prophet. It goes on to say, now when Rachel saw that she bore Yaakov no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Yaakov, give me children, or else I die. I'm so fed up with this. It's going to kill me if I don't get no children from you, in common day language. Yaakov, anger was aroused.
Careful what you wish for.
Exactly. And see, those words came out of her mouth. Set things in motion. And see, Yaakov, angry over what she said, she aroused his against, like, I can't make you have no baby. I can provide the tools and this and that and the other, but I can't do this. So it aroused his anger against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of Yah, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? I'm not Yah. You asking too much. I'm doing my part.
Sound like Jacob needs to go to the rooftop or a desert land.
You ain't lying, my brother. You ain't lying. So she said, and so she trying to remedy the situation. Here's my maid, Bilhah. Go to her. She will bear a child on my knees. She will bear a child that I will raise on my knees. What's she saying?
Here we go again.
Here we go again. Always trying to supplement. Always trying to supplicate the Most High. Supplement and supplicate. Instead of her asking the Most High to open up a womb, she think, leaning to her own understanding, we don't work for none of us, works on all of us, gonna work for her. It didn't, it does not, and it will not, and it never will. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop relying on your expertise, which is very limited when it comes to the Most High. What it can do, how it can do it, and when it can do it. Here, as Cartrell said, I have to concur with it. Here we go again. Not only Rachel, we're doing it as we speak. Instead of...
I know one thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
These ancient women that we're reading about.
Right.
They were very concerned about their husbands having children.
Right? Oh, they were. Yeah, not like these now.
To the point where they didn't mind giving up another sister or another woman for her husband to have a child.
Well, the women have changed now, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah.
The men have changed and the women have changed now. The word I'm using, I want to use the right word. They are a poor representation. Even though our sisters and brothers were wrong, but they are a poor representation of what we used to be. You know, they're not concerned about family. They're not concerned about the structure of family. They're not concerned about anything right now. We've become a monstrosity as a result. They only care about themselves. The society, this Western Hemisphere, has taught them, be only concerned about yourself. Don't give a damn about nobody else. And so that's not working for us, Cartrell. You're right.
Well, I know the women today, they're concerned about you running around with that other little honey you got on the side.
So we said they're more concerned about that?
Oh, yeah. Not like the women in ancient times. They didn't seem to care.
Mm-hmm.
And the Most I didn't have a problem with these brothers having more than one wife.
Well, because of the fact, the marriage contract was different then. That marriage contract was... Right. That marriage contract was her weight in gold. And he was not, if he's any kind of man of the LOM, was not about to violate that contract. So,
and they knew the strength of families.
Was important. Brother, now she had a child or not. As long as he was raised under the household where she was in control, that was good enough for her. I'm good with it.
So this maiden has a baby like Sarah.
So what again, my brother?
Until the maiden that she gives to her husband has a baby.
Yeah.
And now the maiden thinks she's number one.
Exactly.
That happened in Citizens. I don't know if it happened here.
Right. I don't think it happened here, Katya.
No.
Sarah's case it did. I don't think it happened with these sisters. But we'll see as we study. And Bella conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, Yah has judged my case. He has heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan, the tribe of Dan. And
so
Rachel
she
made...
Did that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So she did that? What'd she do?
She gave Yah the praise.
For doing what?
Giving her a son.
Who?
Her, me, a son.
Oh, it's Rachel. Not Bilhah's son? It's Rachel's son?
No, that's the way Rachel looked at it.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel looked at it. This all family. This is in the family.
Exactly.
You my maidservant. I gave you to my husband to marry. You conceived the son. He's under my household, my rules. I'm in charge. That's my boy. She didn't take it out on the boy. That boy ain't mine. He's family.
And she named him.
She named him.
Bilhah didn't name him.
No, Rachel did.
Yeah.
And she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestling, I wrestled with my sister. Indeed, I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. The tribe of Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she had stopped having babies, so she thought, she took Ziphla, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's maid, Zilpha, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes, so called his name Gad, the tribe of Gad. And Leah's maid, Zilpha, bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher.
From the yes, church. That was Leah, not Rachel.
Yeah. Then Leah said, okay. Yeah, Leah. Okay. Then Leah said, I am happy. Thank you, Kadriel. Now, Reuben
You see the vibrations that these names have on the children, right?
Exactly.
She's in contention with her sister, and they're in competition with each other for the love of Jacob, and they're pouring the spirit of contention in their sons.
Yes, unfortunately. Unfortunately, Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Reuben, Leah's firstborn son, went in the days of wheat harvest. He went out and found mandrake. Mandrake was an aphrodisiac that makes men... It's like them little blue pills, you know, make them come up like them little blue pills they got today. He found some mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrake. Give me some of them little blue boy pills. But she said to her, it is a small matter that you have taken my husband. It is a small matter that you have taken my question, her. Would you take away my son's mandrake also? The little blue pills like we got today? So Rachel said, therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrake. I know he's going to get down with you for that mandrake. You're going to put that mandrake on him. Little boy blue pills like we got today. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him. And sometimes, see, you women got it. See, you women think you don't supposed to ask for something. Like men supposed to ask for something all the time. Sometimes women need to open their mouth and ask for something. Leah didn't have no shame in the game. Leah went to him when he was coming out the field. And Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me. Y'all know what that means. Some buck naked fun. For I have surely hired you with my son, Mandrake. My boy that found that Mandrake, Reuben, your firstborn. So I'm going to put some work on you, man. You need to take this mandrake and put in some work. And he lay with her that night. See, a lot of you sisters, right, hold on, let me get these sisters straight here, Carter. See, that ain't no man or woman thing. That's a day thing. See, in relationship back then, see, like your sister won't shut your mouth, don't say nothing. Sometimes you got to open up your mouth because a man can't mind read you. And that go for some of you brothers out there. If you want to put the mandrake on the sister, you got to open up your mouth. She don't know how to mind read you. And that's what I'm saying. This is a two-sided highway. It works both ways. And it works for both ways. Go ahead, Katya. My apologies, brother.
Oh, no problem. So in this scenario, we see that Jacob, they're bartering for him.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like he doesn't have a say in the matter. Leah's telling him, you're going to sleep with me tonight. Oh, okay. Maybe Jacob had other intentions.
Right.
But they run in the show.
They run in the show. Sometimes your sisters got to speak up. Like I said, sometimes brother mind on something else. His mind ain't all about sex. His mind ain't all about what she doing. And sometimes your sister needs to stop trying to play games and open your mouth. Because ain't nobody no mind reader. The brother ain't no mind reader. The sister ain't no mind. And Leah had no problem letting Yaku know what was on her mind. You got to get down with it, get out. I got this mandrake. You got to take this. You got to get put in some work. I like Leah anyway. Although she was unloved, the woman wasn't no shame in her game. You my husband. You got to put in some work, partner. I like Leah. She was a woman. She was, instead of sitting there pouting, mouth stuck out. That man don't know what's on your mind. She went straight to the point. She handled the matter straight up. I wish a whole lot of more sisters was like Leah in that respect. Instead of thinking that man for the mind read what she got on her mind. Or vice versa. The woman spoke to mind read what that man got on his mind. Open y'all mouths. Stop being little children. I like Leo in that respect. She put it all out there. And he didn't have no problem with it. So it came. Okay, there we go. So Jaku. Okay, I need to go back up a little bit more.
16.
Okay. Thank you, God, Chef. When Jaku came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me. You may put in some work. For I've surely hired you with my son. My mandrake will make it work. It was like a little boy, blue pill. And he lay with her that night. And Yah listened to Leah. And she conceived. Bore Jaku a fifth son. Leah said, Yah has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Askar. When Leah conceived, that's it, here we go again. When Leah conceived again and bore Jaqub a sixth son, and Leah said, Yah has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me. He only going to think about me because I have bore him six sons. See, that you can't expect a man to love you just because no babies now. Got to have some love for you. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dina. We're going to learn about Dina down the road, too. Then Yah remembered Rachel. Yah ain't forget nobody. And Yah listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived a son and said, Yah has taken away my reproach. So she called him Joseph. And said, yeah, we're going to learn a lot about Joseph, too. Good kid. He really helped them boys. He really saved the nation. So she called his name Joseph and said, Yah shall add to me another son along with Dan. Now, here's the deal. Here's what's going to go down here. See, y'all think Jaku is a fool. See, Jaku ain't nobody fool. But he finna show you he ain't no fool. He know because he was situationally aware of what was going around him. He know his uncle was playing him, and he made sure with the help of the LOM that he didn't further get played. Let's see how it went out. Because Laban had the big con, but I know for a fact, and you all know, Jaqub had a sharper con, okay? You've been playing me these 14 years, and I'm still working for you? I done prayed to the Most High. We're going to see how this work going to work out for you. Let's see how it goes. And it came to pass when Rachel had bore Joseph that Jaqub said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place into my country. Give me my wives and my children from whom I have served you. And let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban, with his cunning self, said to him, please stay. Have I found favor in your eyes? For I've learned by my experience that the LOM has blessed me for your sake. He's cunning. He's got idols in his house. He went down with the LOM like he's saying he's down. He's just trying to manipulate and use Joseph. Then he said, name me your wages. I will give it to you just to stay with me. So Jaqub said to him, you know how I serve you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came, you didn't have nothing. Little. It has increased to a great amount. The LOM have blessed you since my coming as a result of him. And now, when shall I also provide for when will I have my own things for my house? So he said.
So, shall
go ahead, Katriel.
We see Jacob's mindset, right?
Yeah.
He don't want to be a wage earner. He wants his own thing, like you said.
Right. I want my own.
More money, appoint me your wages, and I'll give it. Any price you want, I'll give it to you. No, I don't want to be a slave, a wage earner all my life.
Right.
I want my own. And you don't have that mentality.
But that's what I'm saying. Complacency has killed us, Katya. We're complacent with punching the clocks. We're complacent with that. That's okay with us. We don't want to own nothing. We don't want to run nothing. We're complacent, and complacency has killed us, Katria, and still kills us. We need to stop being complacent. Yaku wasn't complacent, like some of us. So Yaku said to him, you know I've served you and how your livestock has been with me, for what you had before I came was little, and it increased to a great amount because of me. And Yah has blessed you since my coming. Now, where shall I provide? Where shall I run things, have my own things? Become like the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from. So I could provide for my, I don't need to be punching no clock. So he said, what shall I give you? This is Laban talking. Yaakov said, you should not give me anything. I don't want nothing. I don't want to punch the clock with you. I don't need to punch the clock. I don't need a check. Unlike some of us who are complacent in this Western Hemisphere, he says to him, I don't want you to give me anything. Like James Brown said, I don't want you to give me to open up the door. I get it myself. We're so complacent, country. And Yaakov said, you should not give me anything. If you do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I don't want nothing from you. Let me pass through all your flocks today. Let me go through all your flocks. And what I'm going to do, removing from there all the speckle in the spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and the speckled among the goats. And these shall be my wages. But I don't want to punch the clock. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. You're going to see the results. When the subject of my wages come before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if I got them, if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that is where according to your words. Okay, all right. Okay, whatever your mouth said. I'm down with it, Yaakov. Whatever your mouth said. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it. And all the browns went among the lambs and gave them into the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Yaakov. And Yaakov fed the rest of Laban's flock. So he took them away. Laban, the speckled, spotted, and whatnot. Now, Yaakov.
Jacob.
What's that, Katria?
Jacob did that.
Okay, yeah. Jacob took the speckled and the spotted sheep and did a three-day journey with his sons away from Laban. Now here's where the okey-doke comes in. And he didn't do anything in trickery. This is a medicinal purpose for these lambs and goats and sheep and whatnot. What he did was a medicinal purpose because he had been dealing with those sheep for a long time. Imagine that. And he picked up some tricks of the trade because he was situationally aware. And he wasn't complacent like some of us. He wanted to know all he could know about taking care of sheep and goats and what could work for him and what could work on him. And obviously, he should have learned something doing his trade, unlike some others just want to punch a clock. Now, Yaakov took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white sheep strips in them, exposed the white which was in the rods, and the rods which he had peeled. He set before the flocks in the gutter, in the watering trough, goes on to specify what he was talking about, where the flocks came to drink. So that they could conceive when they came to drink, so they could have some babies. It had a medicinal sexual purpose on these animals. It made them hype, made them right. Then Yaakov separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the street and all the brown and the flocks of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. It came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Yaakov placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, the water, and trough, that they might conceive. He made them sexually active, made them do the thing like rabbits, I suspect. And when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, because he didn't do that with him, and the stronger Yaqub's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, camels and donkeys. He didn't do anything underhanded against Laban. He just used a technique that he learned over the course of time, probably self-taught, how to make these lambs and goats sexually active. And and the medication not only made them sexually active, it made his sheep, his goats, more stronger, while Laban's were feebler, weaker. Praise God. That's why you had to be situationally aware of what's going on. That's why you got to learn all you can and then some. That's why you got to know the who, what, when, where, and how. And stop being complacent. So complacency and ignorance has killed us. We have become content with being ignorant and being content with being complacent. And that's why we don't get anywhere. That's why we love to just sit in the neighborhood, mistreat, abuse, and kill one another, then write rap songs about it. I want something for nothing. You're not going to get anything for nothing. Yaqub knew that. He was situationally aware. And he wasn't complacent like we have been reduced to in this Western Hemisphere, in this society, in this culture, in this captivity. Not only the inner prison that they sent us to, but the outer prison where we're relegated to, where they affect each and every aspect of our life, that we have come so complacent that we'd rather punch a clock than to own the clock in the building. Unlike Yaqub. But what did the Most High say in this regard? Become like the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from. Not universal white supremacy. Not this Western Hemisphere that has reduced us, took us everything, took our motivation, taken our self-awareness, taking our reliance on oneself and oneself ability, because we ain't trying to find out what abilities is nor do those abilities. We're content to be second-rate citizens. That's why they call us Negroes, African-Americans, and so on, and Black, and so on and so forth, because we let them label us. We do what the label says, and we are content with it. We are complacent. We don't ask the who, what, where, and where, and how. That's why we don't study the Most High Word. Well, the white man says Jesus. That's all I need to know. The white man said it's Jesus. Praise Jesus. Because you are complacent. You are content. And you're not situationally aware of anything that goes around you. And you're totally confused about everything. Praise God. It's true. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. You have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. So much to learn from my Father Jacob.
All praise, my brother. I know you got some. Yeah, a whole lot, Kaja. There's a lot more in there. I know you're going to share it with us.
If you let me, yeah, I will.
Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Jacob's character, the fact that he was willing to sacrifice at least 14 years for his wives alone shows what kind of character that he had. Because most people won't work for somebody 14 years, especially, you know, if they want to do their own thing.
Right.
But him working for his uncle, Laban, he wasn't a farmer. He wasn't a shepherd before, but he became a shepherd. And him becoming a shepherd, he learned how to master it. He mastered it to the point where he could develop strong sheep or feeble sheep. He knew what to do.
Exactly.
All the work that he put in. Which shows us that when we're working here in this captivity, we need to learn everything we can and bring back the skills for ourselves, to help ourselves, to build ourselves.
There's
so many lessons in that. And the fact that he remained righteous, he didn't steal any of his uncle's goods or products. He get mad that his uncle had tricked him into marrying Leah. He went about his business in a righteous, humble way. And the Most High was with him to bless him. Jacob blessed Laban. It's like we are his seed, and the people we work for are blessed. It's the same scenario. But our Father Jacob shows us that if we learn the skills, we can go out on our own. So it's a very important lesson that he's teaching us. And hopefully it'll spark the gene, the DNA that's in us that come from him. And we'll do the same thing. His name hasn't been changed. Yaakov still means the supplanter. And he already took Esau's blessings. He's about to take his uncle Laban's blessings. Laban thought he had the upper hand, but he's dealing with the supplanter.
Exactly.
All praise.
Who are we supplanting, Kadria? And what are we supplanting?
We supplanted ourselves.
Oh, my brother, you ain't lying. You ain't lying. We supplanted ourselves. It's true.
We definitely don't have what we're supposed to have. We ain't where we're supposed to be, so we supplanted ourselves.
After 403 years in counting, you'd think we'd do better for each other and about each other. But it just don't add up, because one thing, Katria, it's just like anything in life. If you don't study how to plant a seed, what that seed is, what that seed do and whatnot, you don't know what to do with that seed. And so because they're not studying the Most High Word, surely they don't know what the seed is, how to plant the seed, where to plant the seed, how to supplant or whatnot. It's just a ball of confusion, Godzilla, because they're not studying the Most High. They're studying this Western Hemisphere, trying to get over. You know what this Western Hemisphere does? It knows what it's doing. You don't know what's going on. It knows how to make some of us seem to be attracted to get rich scheme. For us baseball players, basketball players, the music industry, because they control everything. So they did that, but this ain't new. This was done on those plantations. And they made it better. They make some of us rich, a good house nigga. And they made some of us, keep some of us poor on the plantation, but they got a good house nigga. He seemed to have some nicer clothes, eat better food, but he's still a house nigga. I don't care if he's a basketball star, a football star. I don't care if they're in the music industry. They don't run nothing. And then people get paid away from them whenever they get ready. But we're still running after this false utopia. Just do what the white man said. Don't make troubles. Just pick that cotton. And they still tell us the very thing today. Still pick that cotton. Keep your head low. Don't run away. No situational awareness as far as the Elohim is concerned. Know who, what, when, where, and how, as far as the Elohim is concerned. But everything, what they said, situational awareness. Everything, who they said is situational awareness. They said it's Jesus. Okay. Yeah, like little John said, I'm with it. But if you let Young Sue, you let Cottrell, any one of us come and tell us, no, that ain't what the Most High said. Yeah, the white man said, Ham was cursed. No, that ain't what it said. But that white man told me. Nigga, shut up. I know. I'm being facetious. And some of the most serious thing is said in jest. I know I'm being facetious. And I mean to be facetious. Because we are a hot mess. Because we don't listen to one another. And we certainly don't listen to the LOM. When we bring the truth to you, oh, that nigga crazy. When a white man brings something to you, oh, yes, sir. Oh, that's fine gold. Yes, sir. Whatever you say. And you know it's true. And the evidence don't lie. 403 years in counting. And we're still looking for political votes on certain things and never got them. We're still joining political organizations and never get them. Our brothers and sisters are still being shot down in the street. The next year. We're going to progress the next year. We're lying to ourselves and each other. You got to be honest to yourself. You got to make an honest assessment of what's going on around you. And you got to be situationally aware of what's going on around you. And you got to understand what the Most High says in that regard. Go to the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from by way of Moses, by way of Abraham, by way of Sarah, by way of Isaac, by way of Rachel, by way of Leah, and so on and so forth. But we are elected to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it, and it doesn't work out for us, and the Most High is wrong. But Jesus is going to save you. All right? How that's been working out for you. Praise the Elohim. Yah, and bless his holy name. Cartrell, brother, you have any more commentary? Yeah, before we get out of here. Go ahead, brother.
What was Jacob's occupation?
Well, Jacob, he was a shepherd.
Was he rich or poor?
In the beginning, his daddy had money. He didn't have no money. He was on the run from his brother. But after being with his uncle for quite a long time, 14 plus years and counting, he became quite wealthy. He put his knowledge to work.
So he came empty-handed, and he's leaving with camels, flocks, donkeys. The man is rich.
Yeah, he's rich. He's quite
rich. He got four wives. He got servants.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows that being a shepherd can make you rich, right?
Can if you put in the work. If you're not,
it's not an easy occupation.
Right. If you're not working just to punch the clock, it can. If you simply punch the clock, you're just a wage earner. We're content with that, contrary. Because we are not,
so
we're not.
The shepherd can feed himself every day with his flock, with his herds, with his cattle, with his land. He can feed himself every day without money.
Every
and
day.
And the flocks and herds and cattle that he has. He makes money off them.
Every day. Bro, that man had enough food to feed him and his children a whole lot of days. In them four wives and a bunch of little children he got.
Wives and servants too.
Yeah. Hey, look here, Carlos. My mama and daddy had 13 brothers and sons. I had some of them gone. By the way, as a matter of fact, I didn't want to say anything Friday. One of my brother passed away Friday, and I don't want to draw a damper on people doing their studies. I want to keep their mind focused on the studies. But that being said, dad had a good job. You know, he didn't always do the right thing by his money, and food was hard to come by. You know, I know about 12 brothers and, you know, 7 brothers and 5 sisters. Food was scarce, brother. And I was happy when I went into the Marine Corps at 17. And remember I told you about Cripps when his girlfriend sent him a Dear John letter in boot camp? And she was mad at him. She quit him. And in the Marine Corps, as a recruit, you have to eat all the food on their tray. You can't tell them what you're going to eat. You got to eat that food. And Cripps, being my friend in boot camp, came to me and said, "Killebrew, I'm depressed. I can't eat. I can eat a little bit. Can you help me out?" And to me, it was like bonanza. You know, you coming home from 7 brothers and 5 sisters, food hard to come by, unlike Jaku. Man, that was like a bonanza for me. I said, "Sure, Crib, I take one for the team. You know, I help you out, brother." Man, I was eating high on the hog for about 2 weeks. I was mad because the girl had left it. I was mad when she sent a letter back and said, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake." He said, "Kilbert, read your letter for me." He said, "Read your letter for me." "Oh, she's coming back. She's coming back." And I said, "Okay." I read the letter. "Cribs, I'm sorry. I miss you." And he's from New York. Cribs is from New York. And I don't know why I like them brothers from New York. So Cribs, and she said, "I'm sorry. I miss you. It's been 2 weeks. Will you forgive me and take me back?" Cribs is happy. He had tears in his eyes. He said, "Kilbert, you ain't got to eat my food no more." That's when I got mad at her. I said, "Dirty heifer." I know about hunger, brother. I know about hunger. All right. I said that to say this. That Jaku was able to take care of his children when they weren't hungry. He was able to take care of his four wives because he didn't have to punch a clock. He didn't mismanage his money. He said he had his priorities together. I didn't want to be a wage earner. He told his uncle, "I don't want to punch the clock, man. I don't want nothing from you. I want what's mine." And he can provide for his wife, his man servant, his women servant, and whatnot. But we are content because we are complacent. We can't provide for nothing. That's our problem. That's what I said earlier before these studies. We have the greatest killer of us, one of the greatest killers, is not having situational awareness, what's going on locally, nationally, and internationally, and complacency, accepting anything without any complaint. But Yaku wasn't that kind of man. Abraham wasn't that kind of man. Sarah wasn't that kind of woman. Leah wasn't that kind of woman. Rachel wasn't that kind of woman. Bahala wasn't that kind of woman. I'm sure his man serving women serving wasn't them kind of people. Because he led by example. How you all be. Don't be content with these little rinky-dink jobs. If you're going to learn all you can to help you on your own thing. Instead of being content and complacent with punching the clock for somebody. 403 years in counting. We still punching cards. And we happy as we want to be. Are they giving us something for these contracts to play basketball or football, or a contract to sing music that they want you to sing, not music that is uplifting and culturally valuable, but demeaning, derogatory music that tears us down every day of the week. But yet we are complacent with that. We don't have a problem with that. We are our worst enemies, Cartrell, ourselves. And we don't have to be that way. If you study the word of Yah, if you apply the word of Yah, if you love the Elohim and you love his people, you'll stop being complacent. You'll start being situationally aware. And believe you me, it's change that you can believe in. Not what they say in their politics, but it's true according to the Most High Word, because he don't lie. It's true. Praise Yah, Cartrell. I'm sorry, Cartrell. Sorry, fellow students. But I had to get that out. Cartrell, you have any more to say before we move on, brother, to Psalms chapter 2?
Just the fact that our father Jacob was a family man, and everybody was involved. We see that his sons were involved mm-hmm. with him, helping him dealing with the cattle. Leah's oldest son, Reuben, he out in the field doing work for his mother.
Exactly.
It was a family affair. So
exactly.
Everybody got to be hands-on. And we know that Rachel was a shepherdess, so she mm-hmm. does the same thing her husband does, so she wasn't no joke to handle herd and cattle and flock. It wasn't mm-hmm. like she got married and now she could just lay back and do whatever she wanted to do.
No.
Yeah, all of them involved. That's what made him a strong family, and it made him a nation.
Right.
From being a family, he became a nation.
Right. Because he understood the value of family. If the family is strong, everybody's in the family is strong. If the leader is going the right way, most often, everybody else is going the right way. He knew the importance of family. He didn't separate them. He kept them close together. He cemented them together as family. And you'll find
there's qualities in being a shepherd. A shepherd has to be a leader, which
right.
is why the Most High chose King David, who too, mm-hmm. he also was
a shepherd.
And there's qualities in a shepherd that the Most High likes.
Exactly.
Jacob and Rachel and Leah showed their qualities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, they were thousands of children. They were all in for one another and for their husband. And
right.
for him to have a lot of children.
Right. Yeah, they had their personal issues. You're right, Cartrell. But they knew what team they were on. Okay? Yes, they had their personal issues, Rachel and Leah. But they knew what team they were on. Unlike some of us today. We ain't got no team. We're Lobo Woods, Long Woods, trying to make it out on our own and think that's going to be suffice and thinks it work. But look at our community. The evidence doesn't lie. If I'm lying, the evidence would prove you out or prove them out, Cartrell. That Lobo attitude, I got mine, you better get yours. I ain't on your team. I don't need no man. I don't need no woman. How's that working out for you? It ain't. That's why you need to study the rock we were hewn from and the dish we were dug from. And that's what Yah says. And if Yah said it's the right thing to do by these studies, it's the right thing to do, believe you me. Cartrell and I, we've learned a lot by virtue of these studies. I know we're redundant by going over them. What else you got? They write a book every day, and you ain't learned nothing by the book. They're commentaries. Be redundant in your studies. Stop being complacent. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell, my brother, my friend. Are you ready to go into Second Psalms?
Yes, sir. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, even for creating our great kings like King David and King Solomon, who took the time to put wisdom on paper. And what they wrote is so beautiful.
Praise Yah.
The Second Psalms is written by King David. I don't know what the title is. You got a title in your book?
Let me look at it, Cartrell. Okay. They got some Messiah's triumph. I don't know what they talking about, Messiah's triumph and kingdom. You know, they got some red letter misinterpretation here.
Oh, they're right, because King David is the Messiah.
Oh, that's
he is
right.
The anointed king.
Right, he is a Messiah. Okay. And kingdom,
right.
Messiah's triumph. They're right, Cartrell. Okay.
They got it.
You're right, brother. The Messiah's triumph and kingdom.
Exactly.
It's right. Praise Yah.
Yeah. King David is the anointed. Who anointed him? The prophet Samuel. And he anointed him while King Saul, who had been anointed also, lost his kingdom when King David got anointed. And Yah was upset with him, right? Because he didn't obey Yah's instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many anointed, many messiahs, and people got that terminology mixed up. They think it's Jesus. I'm sure they intended it to be Jesus. But we're going to see that this is not talking about no Jesus.
Exactly.
Verse 1. Why do the nations rage? Yah Suf, are the nations still raging?
Man, they ain't stopped.
And the peoples plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth take a stand. And the rulers take counsel together. Are they all this together? All for one, all for all? To take counsel against Yah. Why would the nations do that? Why would they take counsel against Yah and against his anointed, King David, saying, let us break their bonds apart and cast their cords from us? That's why they make laws for LGBTQ and they racist laws, what they call it, Brown versus Board of Education.
Right.
They swear on this book, but they don't believe in this book. They want to break the bonds. The bonds are Yah's commands to mankind. They don't want to be held down. They want to do what they want to do. And where has that gotten them? As Yah Suf would ask.
Nowhere.
He who sits in the heavens will laugh. Most times laugh at them. Nations are in rage. Yah will have them in derision. Are the nations in derision, Yah Suf?
They're totally confused about everything.
Oh, yeah. Then he will speak to them in his anger. And we know Yah didn't speak to us at Mount Sinai in his anger. He just spoke. And we ain't want to hear that no more. Imagine when Yah speaks to them in his anger. How's that going to work out for them?
It's not going to be
terrified them with his wrath. They think, what they say, black Hebrew Israelites are a terrorist group? No. The God we serve is the terrorist. Because he's going to put terror on Yah. That's what he said.
Oh, it's true. Oh, it's true.
He said he's going to speak to them in his anger and terrify them. They're scared of that terror. Yah's terror. He's going to terrify them in his wrath. Yet, I have set my king, Yah's king, on my holy hill of Zion, on Yah's holy hill of Zion. I will tell the decree, King David said. Yah said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me. That same Darth Vader talking even.
Mm-hmm.
I am your father. No, this is Yah talking to King David. Ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance. Did Jesus receive the inheritance of the nations?
No.
Well, he could say neither did King David, but King David conquered nations. Oh, yes, he did. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. That's futuristic, because King David didn't answer that yet.
Nope.
You shall break them. That's futuristic. You shall break them with the rod of iron. Did Jesus do that, or did they stick him up on the cross? Couldn't defend himself.
So they said.
You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Did Jesus do that? King David got a record of doing this. Now, therefore, be wise, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's everybody's assignment in planet Earth, right? Every human being.
Exactly.
Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. Give sincere homage to the Son. Who's the Son, Yah Suf?
King Dawn.
Just read it. There you go.
King.
Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath will soon be kindled. It ain't come yet, but it's coming soon. It says, blessed are all those who take refuge in him. And Yah, don't say the Messiah. Don't say anointed. King David is telling you to take refuge in Yah. Give homage to the Son, but you better take refuge in Yah. And that's the whole key to salvation. Our refuge is like the ark that Noah built to save him from the flood. Not the physical today, it's spiritual refuge. If you ain't in that spiritual refuge, you're in trouble. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
And in the footnotes, they say the word anointed is the same as the word for Messiah or Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what that mean? Because Jesus was never anointed. I keep trying to do Jesus up in there. But putting oil on his feet don't count.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I asked a chaplain in the prison, I'm working with one of the brothers in the prison. Mm-hmm. And I talked to his chaplain, right? I don't know if I told you the story.
Yeah, you told me.
And I asked her what that word meant. Do you know what the word Christ, Messiah, Mashiach means? He said, yeah, it means anointing. And then I asked him, was Jesus anointed? He said, yeah, he was anointed in heaven. He was anointed in heaven.
Oh, is that right? Was he there?
Where does it say that?
And was he there?
Well, I guess he assumes that.
Okay, well, assumption has made an ass out of both of them sometimes, hasn't it? Assume.
Yeah.
And I know he may be sincere, Cartier, but he's sincerely wrong. Okay?
Yeah, and he's a spiritual leader. He's a chaplain.
Trying
to lead people spiritually.
Oh, is that right?
But most of the shepherds that have led Yah's people astray.
Exactly.
But we know the nations are in a rage. We know they're plotted to keep us down, keep us from our inheritance as we speak. But Yah gonna break that bond, break that chain, and he's gonna put misery on these nations because they don't serve him. He's giving them an opportunity, right? It's like he gave us opportunity.
Exactly.
He said, let me see what he says to the nations. He says, now, therefore, be wise, you kings of the earth. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. What they supposed to do? Serve Yah with fear and rejoice with trembling. So we're trying to put everybody on the right path. It tells them to give homage to the Son. And the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is Yah's son too. It's not just our king. It's our king and his people. Lest he be angry. Lest Yah be angry and you perish out of the way. That day is coming for his wrath will soon be kindled. And you want to try to make changes once that wrath is kindled. You better take refuge in him now. As a matter of fact, it should have been done it. All praise.
All praise, Cartrell. Cartrell, thank you. Most High, thank you very much and bless your holy name. Fellow students, thank you for sharing these studies. Please, stop being complacent. Become situationally aware of what's going on around you locally, nationally, and internationally. Also, stop being complacent to the effect that you don't want to know nothing, can't nobody tell you nothing, and you ain't got nothing. Because you're complacent. You're content with just punching a clock. Life ain't simply about punching a clock. Sometimes somebody got to punch the clock. Maybe you're punching the clock for the wrong people. Not for the right people. I don't think there's anything wrong with working for Yaqub or Isaac. Certainly they're not going to have a gay movement day on their job. Okay? Isaac is not going to have a gay movement day on his job. Okay? He's not going to have Pedophile Incorporated on his job. He's not going to tell you go home and beat your wife. Make it right. See, maybe it ain't who you're punching the clock for. Yes, it is. It's who you're punching the clock for. And like I said, ain't nothing wrong. Somebody got to punch the clock for somebody. Just make sure that somebody you punch the clock is the right somebody. Not just anybody. You complacent. But first and foremost, you ought to try to do something for yourself, for your own. Make your family own your team. Set a pitted against one another. Bring them together like a good shepherd. Put them all on the same team with all their quirks and whatnot. Work it out. Like Isaac. Like Jacob. Like Abraham. The rock. And the dish you were dug from. And those mothers, Sarah, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca, so on and so forth. Stop emulating your enemies. It ain't cute. It ain't working for you. It's working on you. But praise Yah and bless his holy name. Contra, any last and closing remarks, my brother?
All praise to the Holy One of Israel for the opportunity to bring forth his word, to give us time to correct ourselves while we can. And I just hope that the family out there is able to absorb the valuable lessons that we're bringing forth. So, most our blessings be with you and your family, Yansu.
Thank you.
And all the family that's out there that's listening. Praise y'all.
And your family. Your, and before we go, Katrio, we have an area code 248. I don't know whether or not they want to introduce themselves or say hello or whatnot. We got ample time. I'm going to bring them on. Area code 248 out of Michigan. May the Most High bless you. You got any comment? You want to share anything with us? We're all open. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Area code 248 out of Michigan. Your mic is hot. Okay. Well, I guess you want to listen, so that's a good thing. So I'm going to cut your mic back off, and I want to tell the other listeners, let the Most High footstep be your pathway, which is virtually his word. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
it mean? When you say you want to be free, free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction. Well, you're moving away, so far away, so far away from me, oh. Well, you're moving, 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 well, you're moving.